up, friendos, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. We are in the go time. This is week one waivers. I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, joined by Jake Seeley, the all-in kid. There's no Brandon. We kicked him off the show. We sent him packing to waivers. We actually sent him packing to the Thursday show because we are back to two a week, but it's just me two a week. I get a little bit of Jake, get a little bit of Brandon as we prepare for the week. Jake, I don't know about you, this has felt like a very long off season, but we are essentially here outside of another draft or two. Do you have a draft Tuesday, Wednesday? I actually have a couple because I have some psychopaths that will only agree to do drafts like the day before, you know, when news like, or the questionable stuff with Mark Andrews, the Cooper Kupp stuff that's going on, George Kittle looking like he's not going to play. These are the things that are going to affect these very last drafts. Are you done, or is there still one more psycho draft?
No, I'm done because I have work. That's the problem. It's like the waivers yesterday, the ranks are going to be today for tomorrow. Like I don't have time to do drafts during the middle of the week. Come on now.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually a very, very good point. Like, this is to all podcast people out there. If you attempt to try to get Jake is a very nice guy and he does shows, but you try to get him on Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to get stiff armed.
Monday or Tuesday. You're like, no, I would love to, but yeah, Wednesday possible, Thursday possible, but even then it's, yeah, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday are out. So you got this very, 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 very small window.
You can get like Thursday. Like if you can do a show on Thursday, then you might be able to luck.
This is why I didn't try the dating apps until after the football season. Thankfully for the timing and Nicole, it worked out perfect. I didn't try to find her in November.
Yeah, you'll be the type too that's like, all right, we got to plan having the kid right after football season. I can already tell it'll be like the plan of how that would be. No,
that's a zero sum plan. There is no such thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I mean, then there you go.
That's
then
already done. No, the honeymoon and the 1 year anniversary trips and second year, like all that's perfect because I did it March 18th. So it's right in that sweet spot between football and the baseball season starting.
Everything planned in there perfectly. That is a pretty good date. Friends, if you guys want, you can go over to The Athletic for $1 a month. You can get locked in and you can get Jake's ranks. And you can get the waiver wire column, which we're going to be talking about today. That'll be kind of our breakdown of the top waiver wire options for the week. But you can get all of that over at The Athletic. So go and check them out today. Click on it. $1 a month. Get locked in. No reason not to. And make sure you are subscribed to this podcast because we are back to two a week. So that should be a lot of fun as we're getting you prepped for the week. So let me ask you this real quick. And then we're going to get into the top waiver wires. I have a draft tonight. Think I have a draft tomorrow, so there's still a little bit going on. There's still people that are kind of manically like, beep, boop, beep, gotta do another best ball, gotta do this and that. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he's the most interesting of all of these things that are floating around here, simply because of that simple little phrase of going to be used in ways that people are not ready for, or in paraphrasing and how it was, that like he's going to be used in ways that nobody thinks. Lions.com then reported today that he would be used as a primary downfield receiving threat. I'm curious at your take on Jahmyr Gibbs and what you think this is going to look like. I actually placed a little future seasons thing on him, and there's a little interesting prop bet out there. The reception prop has been just poking at me for this Thursday night game coming up here. That's been sitting at around 3.5, but it's starting to get juiced up. What do you buy out of this smoke? Because everything else is kind of injuries. Jake, it's like, this guy's kind of hurt. This guy's kind of hurt. You want to talk about like player value adjusting. Jahmyr Gibbs seems to be that guy right now. And I'm curious at what you would take if you were doing a draft today or tomorrow. How would you perceive him?
I would exploit the living hell out of the hype. This is ridiculous. This is the same. This is the DeAndre Swift. We've done this before. Like, why are we so shocked by this? Like, if you want to talk comparison wise, you know, I compared Gibbs to Alvin Kamara in the draft. And I thought that, I mentioned it. I don't remember if you and I talked. I talked with Bogman. I did on his draft, a little special thing. I don't remember if I said it or not. But I said the gap shouldn't be as large as it is between Bijan Robinson and Gibbs, talent-wise, like for the NFL, what they could bring. I would take Bijan, but it shouldn't be a stark, like one on his own tier by himself, Bijan Robinson, and then Gibbs, and we start the rest. I thought it was more of a 1A, 1B. That all being said, we've done this before with the Lions. If you were telling me this on the Saints with Sean Payton, cool. We're talking about a potential top five running back. if we were talking about this about backfields with no significant competition for touches, sure, yeah, let's do this. Rocket to the moon. Alvin Kamara touches. Let's do it. But it's the freaking Lions. Like, we've done this before. We've played this game before. We've wanted DeAndre Swift to be a top 10 running back before. They didn't sign David Montgomery to sit there and watch Jahmyr Gibbs get 20 touches. Can it be exciting? Can he be involved in the passing game? Can he be an RB12 overall, a fringe RB1? Abso-freaking-lutely. But the hype has gone so far that, like, people are now taking him in the second round. And yeah, if he goes off in week one, and you did draft him a few weeks ago and got him at a good value, if he goes off in week one, talk about a huge sell high candidate right sitting in your pocket.
You know, it's interesting. He's one of those guys. I don't think I have any shares, and I got a lot of drafts. I got a lot of things going on. I don't think I have really any shares of Gibbs. It just didn't fit into my drafting style and where he was going and where I could have ended up getting him. If this will be coming out, within, but some people are listening to this, it'll be pretty close to it, but Jake always has his ranks that are going to pop over on The Athletic right at midnight, Tuesday into Wednesday, which is pretty awesome. And that gets adjusted up until game time, essentially. A little preview as we're doing this. Where do you think, where's Jahmyr Gibbs, do you think is going to lie in your ranks for week one ranks?
He'll be in the teens.
Teen, like high teens, little low teens?
I don't know, I haven't even started yet. This is early Tuesday morning.
I'm just trying to poke at you a little bit, like a little bit of like 13, 14, a little bit of low, half PPR, all those receptions. It's a Thursday night game. Just trying to see how much you're getting excited, but it's not enough, apparently.
That's a go overboard here.
Only other little things. James Robinson was visiting with the Colts today on Tuesday. Are you going to read anything into that as far as the Evan Hall and Deion Jackson in the short term? Like, no, with a guy just, like James Robinson
no,
coming in?
It's just because Zach Moss isn't back. No interest, no concern, no whatever. Deion Jackson, RB3, week one. I consider playing Deion Jackson over Breece Hall. At least I know what Deion Jackson's supposed to be. He's going to be the lead dog. Evan Hall had his chance to impress this preseason and didn't. He's still third on the depth chart, according to everything. They want Zach Moss to be the guy coming into week two. But as of right now, there is no Zach Moss. So Deion Jackson, again, that's only because I know the touches. If I want pure ceiling, I was going to say Breece Hall, but I mean, Deion Jackson had a 10 reception game last year. I know it wasn't with Anthony Richardson, but he's not a putz. I mean, he's a decent running back. He's a replacement level running back.
He can catch out of the backfield too. I mean, I think you can give him the touches. You can give him 15 plus touches, which they might have to. Zach Moss is going to, he is totally going to ruin this in week two. It's going to be spectacular because there's been a lot of Evan Hall drafting, a lot of late into Deion Jacks. Zach Moss is going to come in and just get volume in like week two, and we're all just not going to know what to do with it. Speaking of volume,
stay away.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an easy kind of stay away in general. The last thing before we get into the waivers is it was noted that Kadarius Toney was limited in practice on Monday. We've got the Thursday night game coming up. He's expected to play, but on a snap count. Do you think the snap count in general, even though the main wide receivers, when you hear the names, you're just like, oh boy, you know, MVS, Sky Moore, and Justin Watson. Like, it's like, those are your main wide receivers. Anything can happen. Is Kadarius Toney going to be a guy you think you're going to even rank as startable on the snap count? Because obviously one play he can make it big, but yeah, okay. No. So it's an absolute hell no.
No, absolutely. No. Like, if you want to play DFS, yeah, please, 100%. But no, they design plays for him. I don't even think necessarily, as we saw at the beginning of the preseason, it was a real quick turn. It's like, hey, he could be a starter. And it's like, no, he's not. It's Sky Moore and MVS. And he gets mixed in. And I don't even know how much he gets mixed in with Rashee Rice and Justin Ross. And like, are we talking 15? I mean, could it be less? Could it be more? Sure. But there's only two people I would even mess around with right now. It's MVS and Sky Moore. Could quickly change, but not in your week one. Here's the, I know this is a waiver show, and ranks are tomorrow. Funston's probably going to say the same thing. You just finished your drafts. Don't overthink it. You didn't draft somebody in the 7th round to bench him for your 14th rounder.
It can't be overstated. It literally can't. It is the, that is the thing that kills me. It actually kills me on a week-per-week basis, too. Where it is fun to stream sometimes, but someone will take, like, you know, Mahomes, and they'll like be like, but, you know, I did also draft a backup quarterback, and Geno Smith has got a really good option this week. And it's like, I'm going to, if I invest that heavy, play your studs, play your guys. Don't sit your guys. You're gonna give yourself a heart attack. All right, let's talk about waivers. Week one waivers, and you're like, wait, what? What? You're already getting, absolutely. You know, injuries, early draft. You know, maybe you were smart at the end of your draft, and you guys got, you know, like a Jeff Wilson, and you pop him on the IR, and then you go and you look and you say, all right, who are the guys that I can pick up? These are week one waivers from Jake. You can check it over at The Athletic. The startability from these guys, I think you have like 20 at each. Let me look here. Yeah, I think it's 22.
25.
Yeah,
20 backs and wide receivers.
It's very impressive. Very, very impressive. It's a great article. You should check out. We are going to be perusing through some of it. So, Jake, let's start with the running backs. Waiver wire number one up for you is whom?
It's Deion Jackson. We just talked about it. Like, here's why. Like, yeah, Zach Moss comes in week two, ruins everything. But what if Deion Jackson has a week like he did those two times last year? What if he's RB8 for the week and he gets 15, 20 touches and half of them are in their passing game? That's the, like, of course, Anthony Richardson might not throw that much, but what if he checks down six times and just runs some route with Deion Jackson and all of a sudden, I'm not saying it's likely, but if it happens, do they really go straight to Zach Moss in week two? And then even if so, you know, people are looking for running backs. If Deion Jackson does that, and then the thought of last year comes to mind, you potentially have a trade chip on your hand. Sure, you might have hesitations and you might not get anything more than a Damian Harris trade value. And I'm not saying straight up for Damian Harris, but I'm saying, like, even if you did, if you got week one, you pick up Deion Jackson, you immediately flip him into a Jaylen Warren or Damian Harris, you win. There you go. Congratulations. You got somebody who was going in the eighth, ninth rounds of drafts for free off the waiver wire. And I think that's how people have to look at it. That's why I would take the chance on Deion Jackson. And I would stash Zach Moss if he had an extra spot in case he is the guy in week two. But that's a little bit more long-term thinking.
I'm very much into the stashing Zach Moss if you can. The Deion Jackson one's interesting too, because on this list of starters or waivers to pick up, he's the only like starter for week one. And yeah, sometimes like you want to have like a long-term mindset for the season, but at the same time, you have to balance that with your main focus onto like just this week. You got to pick up your win. And if you are looking at all these other names, there are some bigger names on here, but this is the one guy that can start and will start. This is a side thing. This is not a betting show at all, but if you looked at all, like, does Jacksonville on the road -5 going into Indy with this Indy team with a rookie quarterback and no Jonathan Taylor, doesn't that seem a little sketchy to you? Doesn't it? Don't you feel like Jacksonville should be putting it on a little bit more on Indianapolis?
Oh, you mean like the spread should be larger?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you're like a little bit concerned that, like, you know, might be week one upset, just they come out. No, yeah, this is, I would definitely think this should be larger. I was expecting, I guess I know it's on the road. I know it's week one. I know it's a divisional game, but still, Jacksonville playoff team. Jacksonville only got better and has a really good defense, one of the best quarterbacks. Where find their weakness? Tell me where their weakness is. And then it's
that's
like,
what I'm trying to figure out.
Like, 5 against what we think is going to be one of the two worst teams in the league? So I'm with you. This one actually surprised me.
It's no betting show, but I will tell you, I 100% have put a bet on Jacksonville early on. Speaking of Jacksonville, the number two on the waiver wire for RBs is in Jacksonville, so we're staying in this game. Tank Bigsby. So are you already calling your shot on Tank ruining ETN shares?
Oh, yeah. Over me already. I had Etienne, as our friend Pat Mayo would say, because what do you say? He's like Cajun or whatever, or French or whatever. Etienne. I don't know. Ask him. Anyway, point being is,
I guess that more growl in your voice when you do that. Etienne.
Is that what asked me?
Okay. Well, just, you know, it gets like a little Louisiana, a little more growl in there.
People
from Louisiana can speak to it.
If I try to do like accents, it turns into one or two things: New York or Italian, which are very similar. Like,
oh, you know what's funny?
I default all of my way back. I can't do anything. Like, if I start with Scottish, it's going to finish Italian.
Okay, so that's so funny because I think everybody has all of mine come back to Russian for some reason. Like anything, I'll do like, you know, Australian or British, and then it all comes back to Russian somehow. And then I don't know why that is.
Good day, mate. You're going to jail. Like, I can't, like,
it just works its way back. I don't know. I guess yours is probably a little bit more relatable. I don't know why mine goes to Russian, but all right. Yeah. So yeah, off of the Cajun, Tank Bigsby. He's waiver wire RB.
Sorry,
two
you're still hung up
week
in the Cold War over there. But anyway, yes, Tank Bigsby. ETN was always a concern for mine because mostly the touchdown success wasn't really there for him. And I'm not saying that can't change. And we've seen fluctuations from running backs before. But Etienne always felt like, to go back to the Matt Forte days, like, he could be great. It's just they're going to be somebody else taking the touchdowns. There's going to be somebody else involved. And I bring up Matt Forte to say, Matt Forte was still an RB1. Matt Forte also saw about 20 touches a game. That was bell cow city, when everybody had bell cow running backs back in that day. And Matt Forte was great. My concern is that there are so many options across the league where they're starting to see split backfields, that Bigsby isn't just a complimentary coming at the goal line. And it's fine because ETN gets 1,400 yards, 1,600 yards, and four touchdowns, which we'd be like, who cares? He's still got 1,400 yards. The concern is that it's 1,100 yards and four touchdowns, and Bigsby comes in and he ends up chipping away 600, 700 yards. And Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, I think, is the concern here. And when you bring up that concern, the only reason Aaron Jones was an RB1 was because of the touchdown rate. And that's not what I expect for ETN. That was a completely different ballgame with how Aaron Jones was used. So that's my concern. That's what I think is going to be more of a thorn in the side. I don't know how many times you can start Tank Bisbee in outside of a deeper league. He could be your RB3, but a lot of people know they're starting wide receivers these days. The real appeal with Tank Bigsby being this high, too, is what happens if ETN gets hurt again? And then all of a sudden you have an RB at worst 15 on your hands.
Yeah, I would say, you know what I was actually going to ask you was, is he the top? This is a tough game, but like when you start to take backs, you can't do full on like committees like A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. But if you were to take, you know, the more bell cowish backs off of teams, is Tank Bigsby like the top replacement? You know, the old, drafting the backup. No,
I think he could find his way. He's definitively top 10, maybe into the top five. But it starts with Elijah Mitchell on the 49ers.
Yeah. Jalen Warren, probably.
Jalen Warren.
Who would you rather? Okay. Warren or Bigsby?
Bigsby, because I think he might have some standalone value. I think he might have some A.J. Dillon RB3 value. That's why he ranks higher on, if you go to the waiver wire, that's why Bigsby's 2 and Warren's down at 9, I think. Warren just in front of Damian Harris. If something happens with James Cook, Damian Harris can make 20 touches, not a lot in the passing game, but he'll be the dude. Gus Edwards will be the dude if J.K. Dobbins' knees blows up again. So there are a handful of them, but I think Bigsby real quickly gets into the conversation. I don't know necessarily top 3-4, but I mean, as soon as we start, let's see. I would go pure backups, as in I'm never starting them. I would say Warren definitively, Elijah Mitchell definitively. Damian Harris, I would still take trade up because we know Damian Harris. Of course, that's a health issue too. Like, people are going to factor in the health thing, but we know Damian Harris doesn't need to catch the ball to be an RB1. He proved that. Gus Edwards would be where I start thinking about it. So I think we could get him in a top 5 conversation.
Last thing on this, do you see a scenario where Etienne and Bigsby can become Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon light? In how I'm saying, like, can Etienne become RB2 with Bigsby becoming RB3?
Yes.
This season.
Okay. Let's also remember the offense. He's done this before with running backs like this. The frustrating thing has been we've wanted an RB1 in the Doug Peterson offense, but we've had RB2s and 3s together before. I'm trying to think of anybody else, trying to think of other running backs that would throw into this conversation, because we don't have the Tony Pollard anymore because now he's a starter.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a shorter list than it used to be. Because a lot of them are like split guys. Like, I would say Charbonnet would be in this list. But Charbonnet is already a split guy. Like, Charbonnet is probably already chipping away 30-35% of the work to start.
Ooh, who's okay? Then what pairing do you think is more likely to hold dual fantasy relevance? Walker and Charbonnet, or Etienne and and Bigsby? As in, like, Etienne, you know, Bigsby, one doesn't completely takes away the job.
That's because Etienne and Bigsby, because there are more health concerns with Seahawks, and then also Pete Carroll's done that. This is why I keep saying my concerns are Kenneth Walker. It's not that Kenneth Walker can't still be an RB1. It's that Pete Carroll's done this before. His most valuable running back trait is availability. And you miss one game, and he'll switch to the other guy. And the other guy, even, you could, he gets, he's the, you know what? It should be, Pete Carroll's nickname should be Wally Pip. Like, that's what he does. Like, it doesn't matter if you're averaging 5 yards a carry, you're the second best running back in the NFL, Chris Carson. You miss 2 games and the other guy starts performing, it's like, you lost your job. Sorry. Like, that's why I would say still Jacksonville.
Yeah, it is his favorite thing. You mentioned frustration. This has the potential to be a very frustrating situation in Philadelphia this year. And one of those running backs pops up on the waiver wire, and it's really the only one that you could think of because everyone is kind of locked into the other two. So coming in at number 3 on the RB waiver wires is Kenny Gainwell. So why Kenny Gainwell so high?
I never want to start Kenneth Gainwell. I want to stay away from this entire backfield. This is chasing your tail. The definition of chasing your tail. This is like, oh, DeAndre Swift week one. I'm going to start in week two. And now it's Kenneth Gainwell. I'm going to start Kenneth Gainwell. Rashad Penny's hurt. Boston Scott scores two touchdowns. Like, I just, no, I don't want anything. But the reason he's here is because you have injury concern DeAndre Swift, injury concern Rashad Penny. If something happened to either one, or if anything happened to both of them, that's the real appeal here. And at worst case, if you're thin, if you're in a 14-team league, I can start Kenneth Gainwell. Like, I could start Kenneth Gainwell in week one if I went wide receiver heavy. Am I having a deep league with deep benches and stuff like that? You might be able to start him. That's why he's up this high, because I don't want to, but the upside, if anything happens to any of the other running backs, and then he is somewhat usable. He's usable kind of like Bigsby.
Do you think the Eagles will tip their hand in this game with what we see being what we're going to see all season?
No.
Okay, that's where I was going to go with that, because they feel very fool's goldy for the first couple like weeks.
We've done this
whatever
before.
They do, we can't trust.
We did it last year. Oh, you know what? Who else? I'll give an example, because he's not inside the top five, but to go back to the backup conversation, I think I forgot Tyler Allgeier. I would take Allgeier over Bigsby, because we've seen Allgeier was just putting up RB1 numbers. If I'm like sixth, fifth running back on my bench, I would go further down. I would stash Allgeier over stashing the frustration of Gainwell, because you're gonna get intrigued. You're gonna get tricked into starting Kenneth Gainwell, and that's the difference. Like Allgeier, you're probably never like, nope, unless I got like six guys on a bye and I'm desperate. Like, but if something happens to Bijan Robinson, boom, top 15 running back. Kenneth Gainwell, even if something happens to Rashad Penny, you're still like, is it? Can I use him? I don't know. There's nothing they're going to tell us in week one that's going to make me say we know the Eagles' backfield. That's how you get tricked.
Like what we talked about at the top of the show, it's one of those things where it's like Kenny Gainwell goes out, you know, let's say he breaks one out, has 12 carries, 64 yards, catches a couple for a touchdown, you know, and Swift does his and Penny. And then all of a sudden people are like, well, you know, should I start Kenny Gainwell over DeAndre Swift, or, you know, should I start him over? Maybe that's not the best example, but, you know, like a mid 20s to late 20s RB, like is Gainwell the guy I should start? And it's like, whenever you start
Swift
him, it won't
James
work.
Connor.
And there you go. Yeah, exactly. It'll be like Gainwell over. Connor. That's exactly right. Cause Cardinals are going to be stinky.
Gainwell, yeah. Point being.
Yeah, exactly. Number four on this list is a guy that you already mentioned. This comes out of my team. I think this makes a lot of sense why, especially if he's sitting out there. But Eli Mitchell with the San Francisco 49ers.
And the big thing is we know it's the 49ers. We know Elijah Mitchell can be an RB1 if anything happens to Christian McCaffrey. But we've also got some sprinkling news of, hey, Christian McCaffrey could be in that 15 touch per game. Could be like the Austin Eckler workload. And not that I know you say, this is one of those ones like Josh Allen's going to stop running the ball. But, you know,
I hear that and I'm like, all right, you build that into your value. Everybody.
Christian McCaffrey can sit in the 15 touch range for all the games that they're winning, like 30 to 10. Yeah,
exactly.
But like if they need him, like if the score is close or they're even down, they're not going to be like, well, he's got 13. We got to save two touches for the end of the like, let me hold on before. No, that's why you made that comment. But if anything were happening to Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell is good. Like, there's
the
no
moon.
Reason he's, you know, should be on waivers. This is absurd to me. Like, because let's put it this way. If he was on 100%, like he was 100% available and Christian McCaffrey gets hurt in week one, people would blow their entire 100% of their fab.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be like, oh, well, maybe I'll do 60. No, they'd be like, I'm blowing all of it to go get Elijah Mitchell.
And people are going to ask, they'd be like, how much fab? And we'll be like, all of it. You do all of it. If he were to knock on wood, he would be out. But get back to what you said. Like, Eli Mitchell will eat into those carries against, like, the Cardinals and the Panthers. It's not going to bleed in heavy against, like, the Steelers. This first game out, this is a really tough game in week one. I'm not worried about it, as Tim Robinson would say.
A good chance is if they're up 35-10, Christian McCaffrey probably already scored a touchdown.
You'll get your fantasy points. Exactly. But that's what's fun about Eli Mitchell. He's one of those guys that's going to value agreed. What percentage did you use that got him on this list? Because I'm with you. I'm actually shocked that he's available. What was it, like under 60?
Under 60, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been using for years. I mentioned this on All in Football. I tried to go with Sleeper this year, but the Sleeper app lets you sort by roster, but you can't do it on the web. And I'm not going to sit here and scroll up and down my phone looking for please Sleeper. I tried to use you as a reference point this year, but their web, they definitely designed the app to be like people on the app. If you go to the website, screw you kind of thing. Cause They like leave half the features off the website.
I know. I know we're all mobile, but we do need to get back to a little bit. For us people that work in the industry, like we need that side of it, please. Number five, the final one that we're putting a big focus on as far as RBs go. Who is your waiver wire RB number five?
So to be clear, before everybody comes at me in week two, in case this happens, or even week three, Devin Singletary could quickly find himself in Dumpsville. Dumpsville is where I say you have permission to drop these players off your roster. And we actually have Gary Davenport's doing a whole drop column this year because people are like, I want to, you know, you don't go deep enough to try. Like I'm playing a 10-team league. There's more droppable options. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm at 60% rostered. I'm like already throwing out names that like people are like, it's that balance you're trying to find. But yeah. The reason I'll say for week one, Devin Singletary is he was not even going to make this list until he got down to like the Devon Achane's and Kyron Williams of the world. Like he was going to be down that far until The Athletic themselves, my company, not my company, the company I work for, but person covering over at The Athletic said there could be a full blown committee in the Texans backfield. Now the entire preseason has spelled out and told us it is Damian Pierce bell cow. He's been out there for third downs. He mentioned the fact that he's losing weight from running all these routes. They have him out there completely. I still think that's the more likely scenario. But if that was just to get him reps and just to get him ready for a better usage this year, and it is going to be a Ogunbowale on passing downs at times, and Devin Singletary is going to get 30% of the work, then you kind of have to do pick him up because he falls into the Bigsby conversation. He could be usable on slim weeks, deeper leagues. And then if something happens to Damian Pierce, we've seen Singletary put up top 15 numbers with the Bills when he was the guy. So that's why he's here. He could easily slide back, but right behind him is Algier. Algier's a pure backup. You're probably never starting Algier. Deuce Vaughn, PPR, half PPR, RB3 only. Ty Chandler, Jalen Warren, Damian Harris. You see how mixed up these guys are where Devin Singletary is kind of in that Bigsby conversation. That's why he's there.
So RBs, always the gold, always the thing we're chasing. There you go. There's your top five. There are 17 more of them on this list, if you go and check out the articles. 18, very good.
I mentioned
too.
Two guys in one sentence.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. And there's the Matt. I didn't count the Matt guy that's on here. Oh, yeah, there's the Matt and the Dumpsville. So actually, there's
Matt
more.
You don't want anyway.
But just names that you guys might want to be aware of. So let's go over to wide receivers. And I like number one because I've affectionately called him during drafts because every time he would get drafted, I was like, ooh, that was sneaky. So I called him Sneeko Collins. It is Nico Collins coming up. Sneeko Collins here at number one for wide receiver waivers for the week. So spell it out. You just talked about why Singletary could get into Dumpsville. Potentially, is Sneeko the guy that's going to take advantage in this offense?
I really don't know how he's under 60%. We've been playing Nico Collins is going to break out, what I feel like, 7 years now. This is only his third season. Like, and he can't break out for his rookie season. But it feels like we've been talking about Nico for the last 5 years at least. And then all of a sudden, like, nobody wants. He's not even 60% rostered. Like, he's the number one. Could it be frustrating? Sure. Could it be 1 week, I don't know, 5 for 80, and then the next week, 2 for 32? Like, sure. But he's your wide receiver 4, especially if he's on waivers in over 40% of the leagues. Like, that just makes no sense to me. He's the number one. I think the Tank Dell thing got people a little bit, the excitement there. By the way, the history of wide receivers his size to have a 1,000-yard season in the NFL? As many as I have. 0. It doesn't happen. Like, Tank Dell can be fun, but it kind of goes like the Tutu Atwell, the Tavon Austin. Like, it's just, he's going to be a gadgety player. That's fine for real life. But for fantasy, I want Nico Collins to be the one. And it's clear that John Metchie is 3rd, 4th on the depth chart. He hasn't even cracked the starting 2 yet. So, what? I don't understand this Nico Collins thing. What happened?
Well, it's similar. It's similar to like the Giants, though. They're one of those two teams that it's like,
yeah, but we
nobody
have a clear
knows.
One with the Texans. It's Nico Collins. Like,
yeah, but I don't think it was clear to people. Like you are spelling it out like it's clear. In what was it, dude? In June, this any best ball, John Metchie all day long. John Mechie's biggest sleeper of all time. John Metchie. And everyone's kind of staring at Robert Woods. No one does anything with Nico. And then Tank Dell starts up and everyone's like, Tank Dell.
That's going to be Robert Woods, isn't it?
It's going to 100% be Robert Woods. But what I'm saying is it's like the Giants where everyone just stares and they're just like, ugh, like, what do I do with this? And no one knows what to do. And it's like you have number one wide receivers coming in at like wide receiver 50. Same thing happened with the Panthers, with Adam Thielen in Mingo. It's just like, there's a couple set of teams that they're number one, number two wide receivers. They're not even startable fantasy assets because people don't know what to do and people don't trust them. And I kind of agree with you. I think if Nico Collins is out there, he could end up being one of the top waiver wire pickups next week. That's why you take advantage of it if he's actually out there, because if he's going to get whatever the volume in Houston looks like, people are going to be like, oh, why even was he out there?
Even if he goes 3 for 80 with a touchdown, it's going to be the reactionary, like, not only are like, how is he on waivers and everybody's going to try and pick him up, but if you already have him on your roster, he goes 3 for 80 and a touchdown, they're going to be like, oh yeah, this is why we love Nico Collins. Let me send you somebody who disappointed in week one with the overreactionary people. Be like, oh, you know, like, I'm trying to think, like, Damian Pierce, you know, he only got 13 carries for 40 yards. Meanwhile, no touches for anybody else in that backfield. Like, even that's, I'm giving you an example. People are like, oh, Nico Collins, I'll give you Damian Pierce. Like, that kind of stuff will happen.
Well, also throw out, like, all these people that you draft all these running backs, and when they don't do anything in week one, you might have, I'm not saying you necessarily want to do this, but you might have people that are just like, you know what, Jalen Warren didn't get any carries, and they get frustrated because Jalen Warren didn't cost anything. You might have people that are frustrated. Yeah, but that mindset, you should 100%, regardless of what he does in week one, but that person might be like, well, I need a wide receiver and screw it. You know, I had Jalen Warren. He didn't have any carries against Najee Harris. And you could have the same thing on the, you know, the Ty Chandlers or the Kendre Millers if you want to play for future ball.
I know we're talking waivers, but here's a big thing. Like, you did not draft Tank Bigsby to drop him in week one after he didn't get a lot of touches. Like, that's, you did not draft Tank Bigsby for that. Be patient.
Agreed.
Like Rashad White last year. People who drafted and dropped Rashad White, see how that happened.
100% agree. Especially if you were taking these guys that don't have the clear-cut roles and cutting bait early, it's a huge mistake. And also, when you have the opportunity to preemptively get the next week waiver wire, you should do that. And Sneeko reeks of a player that is going to be being talked about. I know you like that a little bit. This is a big buzzy guy who comes in at number two. Me and Bogman had an epic battle and conversation and fight about this on one of our shows. And I was all Marvin Mims and he was LJ Humphrey. And then Humphrey got cut in between the argument after we argued about 20 minutes later. It was an all time, just, I got to tell you so, but Marvin Mims showed out in the preseason. And you know, you got questionable stuff with Jerry Jeudy right now, but he comes in at number two on the wide receiver waiver wire. So talk it up.
Yeah. Even if Jerry Jeudy was playing, Marvin Mims is intriguing as a three, similar in the conversation of we're not going to talk about him, but go further down the list for like a Tyler Boyd where, okay, now you can't start him. Jerry Judy's out there. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, are you really going to have a third wide receiver with value? But if anything were to happen to the top two, we're talking about people still drafting Quentin Johnston. We're still drafting JSN. Smith and Jigba's going rounds and rounds if people are still drafting in front of Marvin Mims, when yet, who has a starting job in week one? Jerry Jeudy's not playing week one by all accounts. Could it be surprised us? Maybe. Okay, I won't say there's a zero chance that happens, but Marvin Mims is a starter in week one. Same scenario to all those wide receivers. A very talented wide receiver that people kind of overlooked in the NFL draft, as in like when he got, people are like, oh, well, second rounder? Like, yeah, he's somebody that they went after. And if something happens again to Jeudy or Cortland Sutton continues to be Cortland Sutton, I mean, there's a world where Cortland Sutton stays healthy and Marvin Mims surpasses him. Like, that's the talent. And when Cortland Sutton's out there still giving up on routes, then, I mean, I don't think Sean Payton's good. Sean Payton drafted Mims. He didn't draft Cortland Sutton. I'm just saying.
I was actually doing this while you were talking, so check this out. I just did a draft last night. And I will say it had IDP in it, so it's going to affect the rounds, but you're going to get the gist of it. It had positional IDPs too. Bogman's just a nightmare with that type of stuff. He had like cornerback and it was stupid. But I took JSN in that as my fourth wide receiver in round 11. So IDPs pushed him down. I got Marvin Mims in round 26. So I just want to throw that out to you. To your point, in a very, you know, it's a good amount of
JSN was banged up.
Very smart people. Yeah. And I took JSN for the upside because I had my starters. But then I got Marvin Mims 15 rounds later, understanding that the IDP's in there. That's still probably a 4 to 5 normal round value. I'm not saying
I
don't like JSN more.
I do. Smith and Jigba's definitely the better talent. But, I mean, opportunity, man.
Yeah. Marvin Mims was like my last offensive player that I took. So I'm completely with this one. This is another one of those get ahead of it. Number three on the list. I get why this is here. I don't know who the guy can end up being. We know there's some big play in it, but the Rams are a disaster. someone's got to catch the ball. Kind of like we're talking about a lot with these wide receivers in here. These are wide receivers on teams outside of Mims that they got to just, someone's got to catch the ball. Van Jefferson comes in at number three. This is probably one that's going to surprise people. Not in that there's potential volume and just the name in general. So why Van Jefferson over those other really awesome Ram wide receiver names?
Completely upside. He's the starter. Awesome. I think Puka Nacua can be the best long-term, but he's still a rookie. He's still a developmental rookie who has good all-around game. But Van Jefferson, similar to Nico Collins, similar to go back to years of, like, I brought up Nate Washington on All in Football, maybe even Torrey Smith. Like, you know, is it 1 week, 2 for 30, and then the next week, 4 for 100, and then the next week, 3 for 70 and a touchdown, and like the next week, again, 2 for 30 again. Like that, those are those kind of wide receivers. But, you know, that's what Van Jefferson is, and he has Matthew Stafford. There was excitement for Van Jefferson last year and 2 years ago because, hey, like, he could be the new answer for Matthew Stafford alongside Cooper Kupp. But now he's going to be the one in week one. Like, so the opportunity is there. Could he fall flat on his face? Sure, but I feel a lot better about Jefferson getting 7 targets versus Jefferson getting 3, because then he has to catch 1 for 40 yards and a touchdown. But that's really what it comes down to. Tutu Atwell, he could actually lead the team in receptions. It wouldn't shock me, but it's going to be a lot of short yardage stuff, kind of like a Jacoby Myers. I mentioned Nacua for long term, but it just really comes down to opportunity here. Like, and again, this is, if Van Jefferson hits in week one, it's going to renew that excitement and hype people had for the last 2 years.
One thing I would note, you can tell me what you think about this, but if Van Jefferson and Puka put up the exact same stat line this week, I think Nacua would go for exponentially more than Van Jefferson. Yes. If they both went, you know, 5 for 80 with a touchdown, it wouldn't even be close about what would be spent on waivers versus Puka versus Van Jefferson. Agreed?
I do. And it just, the likelihood of those, why Nacua is more down by 10, 11, 12 range versus being up here. Because he's also, like, how many snaps is he going to get in week one? So you can look at it like that, too. I'll just jump. I'll segue myself into the next one. Teammates, Panthers, Adam Thielen and Jonathan Mingo. If you're looking for that kind of reactionary thing, like, this is where, you know, play your league, play your waivers, depending on what. If you need a starter, I trust Adam Thielen more. I think Adam Thielen is a good fit for a rookie quarterback. The style of play, there's a reason they brought in Thielen. And to do this, I thought the Thielen Miles Sanders to get Bryce Young acclimated to the NFL was super smart by them. Jonathan Mingo, the reason is a little bit different because Mingo might be the starter week one, but DJ Chark is back at practice. They've already said it's DJ Chark and Adam Thielen. Time and again, they've already said those are the one and two when healthy. DJ Chark could get hurt again. DJ Chark could be limited in the first game. But DJ Chark, Terrace Marshall still probably out? Question mark. Don't even know what's going on with him. But Jonathan Mingo puts himself into this conversation just like Marvin Mims did. The difference here, where I will say, knowing your league, if you need production, that's why I have Thielen here. I have Thielen in front of Mingo. But if you're looking for that potential, I can immediately flip him, then it is Mingo. And that's why they're back-to-back, because just like you said with Nacua, if there is no DJ Chark and Mingo and Adam Thielen put the exact same stat line out, they both go 5 for 90 and a touchdown. Jonathan Mingo is going to go for like 40, 50, 60 in Fab, where Thielen would go for like 15, because it'd be like, it's still just Thielen.
I 100% agree with that, because I'm a big Mingo guy, so I would feel that. I actually would say if you were going for production this week, for whatever reason, you know, maybe you lost, your Cup isn't going to play, and Thielen would be like the number one on this list if I was going for production. I think you could argue Nico, you already kind of laid that out. It might be Nico. I would probably put Thielen one or
he'd best be floor. One or two He's as got, far Thielen's as like got production. The best floor. Well, For all your Lost fans, I made a reference to Lost 15 years later in the column. So there you go with Adam Thielen.
Yeah, well, I love that show. I loved that show.
I referenced to the best episode they ever had. It gives a big hint.
See, I've wanted to rewatch the show, but I don't think it holds up.
Oh,
and
no.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah, like really badly doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up. As soon as the mystery is gone, though, like, it ruins 80% of the show. Like, it's just.
Yeah, exactly. Final up is just burning through. You have quarterback and tight end streamers since we focused on the waivers there. You want to just burn through a couple quarterback and tight end streamers that are going to show up for this week for you?
I will do tight ends because quarterbacks are, you shouldn't have to stream in week one. I listed them there just like, I don't know, like super flex. I just put them all the 60.
Were you just trying to be nice?
Yeah, pretty much. You drafted your quarterback. Just start. I don't care if it was the 13th quarterback off the board. If there's a waiver wire quarterback that you didn't draft, you're not started. You drafted the quarterback that you wanted to start. Don't overthink it.
So number one on the list is Russell Wilson. There's no Russell Wilson. Oh, like who's the quarterback that you could justify the streaming of Russell Wilson over?
Nobody.
Okay. So I can't get you there. I'm trying to think of like.
Not Daniel Jones. Not Tua. Not Aaron Rodgers, even against Buffalo. Like, no.
Okay. Yeah, Rodgers Buffalo was where I was going to go with that. Okay. All right. So give us some tight ends.
It's like, you should have just. But why'd you even draft him? Again, I asked that question. Why'd you even draft him? So
it's people's favorite thing to do, though. It's
crazy.
I know.
Tight ends. I could see tight ends a little bit because if you waited to the end game and you drafted like a Higbee, although I'm starting a Higbee in week one, could potentially be the number one option. But
every single one of my teams, man, I have one or two. I'm like low tight end. I had to pair up the tight ends. I'm in this position, so this is going to help me out.
Yeah, I could definitely see, like, I'm trying to think of, like, Gerald Everett, who's now potentially splitting snaps at tight end. He's actually on this if, but somebody might have drafted Gerald Everett. Somebody might have drafted Greg Dulcich, and because now he's splitting with Troutman because Sean Payton brought in his guys. Those are two and three. Number one would be Juwan Johnson. I would just roll him out with the Saints. I know there's concerns about, well, Michael Thomas is back, but you look at Tre'Quan Smith hurt. I don't even, did Tre'Quan Smith even stay on the roster? I think they did only because they had so many injuries. Yeah, he did. But A.T. Perry could be a starter as the third option because Rashid Shaheed's banged up. So I would just roll with Juwan Johnson. If you want to go a little bit deeper, hey, maybe Irv Smith does something. Tyler Conklin got a lot of late buzz this preseason, even from Zach Rosenblatt on The Athletic, saying he could be the second leading receiver after the top two, the second leading second option. Like, that's kind of tough to say. It's clearly Garrett Wilson, but then it could be Lazard and then Conklin is basically what he's getting at. So I think that's interesting. And then if you want to take a flyer deeper from there, Henry, Musgrave, Ferguson, Kate Otten's the one. Like, everybody's like, who's going to be the third wide receiver to step up now that Russell Gage is out? I was like, they have a tight end. Like, this might be the Kate Otten everybody was hoping for last year. But that's super deep.
You know, what's funny, actually, is I personally kind of like the bottom of this list more than
the top.
I like Juwan Johnson. Well, Juwan Johnson's
just
like
a
number
Hail Mary
one.
Play. Like, it's tight end. You want a touchdown. The end.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Like, Juwan Johnson's like the top guy. But, like, personally, Musgrave is one of those guys. If you end up seeing him get like six or seven targets from Love, watch the hell out. He's going to skyrocket if people missed out on tight end.
The difference is also, you know, it's the Bears defense in Chicago. Not that it's like world breaking, but I mean, the Saints get the Titans at home on the track. Like, it's the Titans defense.
Well, that's why he's the guy, 100%. So you guys can find this article with tons more streamers and a whole bunch more waivers. Like, I think there were another 17 or 18 or whatever it was, wide receivers, same thing on running backs. You can go and check it out at The Athletic. Go and sign up today, $1 a month. If you're not already subscribed, you can get locked in and you will have access to this and the ranks, which are coming out in about 24 hours or less, actually, as we're recording this, and probably right around when you are listening, you guys can get access to the week one ranks. We will be back on Thursday. Brent and myself will be talking about ranks. We'll probably be poking at Jake's article and picking and prodding it as well as we go through this. So make sure that you are subscribed and checked out there. Find Jake on Twitter at AllInKid. You can find me at IsItTheWelsh. And thank you guys for hanging with us right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Talk next time. Bye-bye.